Welcome to Show and Tell with the Two Mortgage Guys. We come to you live every Tuesday on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Today we have with us Brian Haverstick, the Assistant Scout Executive with the Sagamore Council, Boy Scouts of America. Today we're going to talk about how your family can get involved with scouting, the reach outreach programs, partnerships. Stick around.
So after serving his country in the United States Army, Brian graduated from Lindenwood University with a bachelor's degree in nonprofit administration. He's a certified nonprofit professional, a CNP, by the Nonprofit Leadership Alliance. While in college, Brian worked as the athletic director for the Boys and Girls Club of St. Charles County. Brian has since served on as the district executive and senior district executive with the Greater St. Louis Area Council, the district director with the Ozark Trails Council, field director with the Great Rivers Council, and now the Assistant Scout Executive COO with the Sagamore Council, spanning an 18-year career in the BSA. Brian has a vast experience volunteering in the communities he's lived and worked. He served as a public address announcer for Ladue Horton Watkins and Francis Howe North High School basketball and volleyball teams. He served as an advisor of the Alpha Phi Omega chapter at the Lindenwood University. He remains active as a Rotarian, although he has held leadership positions in Kiwanis, Sertoma clubs as well. Brian was featured in the Teaching and Learning Network's Voices of Vision television documentary on his accomplishments and involvement in American Humanics, the Boy Scouts, the Boys and Girls Club, and the Boy Scouts of America. Brian and his wife, Liz, reside in West Lafayette. They have two sons, ages 12 and 10, 7-year-old daughter. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you so
impressive.
Much.
Very good.
Nice. You don't realize you've done all those things until someone reads it out loud.
You're like, man, this just keeps going. I had to trim it down.
I noticed on Ryan's it did. It flipped the page on the one that you had print out for me. I had to go to the back page to finish it.
I got
to
tweak. I got to shrink that a little bit. I'm sorry. Golly.
Well, you are certainly no stranger to volunteerism and helping people. So we're just thrilled to have you on the show. We were kind of telling you earlier, you know, in addition to talking about real estate and mortgages, which is what we do, we love to feature nonprofits and any organizations that we can just kind of help spread the word and bring awareness to people in the communities. And the Boy Scouts is a staple. So we're just thrilled to have you here talking about it.
I'm excited to be here. You know, anytime we can put scouting in a positive light and communicate to the masses, is a good thing. Yeah. Oftentimes, you know, we live in a society where we read headlines, right? And we don't get too far past the headlines. And so it's good to be able to tell the scouting story today and talk to you guys a little bit about your scouting backgrounds as well. So I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, good. It's fun. It's like Ryan said, it's one of the things that we try to help with the community of just trying to learn a little bit. And then we both have some scouting history behind us, and then your guys's office here in Kokomo is right down the street. We're passed by it multiple times a week, so it's top of mind for us with you guys.
Sure Yeah, it's a great spot.
Hey, when the Boy Scouts go camping, can they have their cell phones now? Is that a thing? Because that was definitely not a thing when we were kids.
Yes, they can have them by rule. It's obviously one of those things that has to be controlled. Right. We want to make sure that scouting is happening in a safe environment, and it can become an unsafe environment real quick with the cell phone. If somebody chooses to do something inappropriate in a restroom or while somebody's changing or whatever the case may be. So while they are allowed, they're allowed in certain capacities, but there is still some restrictions, very similar to school. Right. Kids can have cell phones in school, but there's restrictions on when they can and can't use them and what they can and can't be doing. But they're very helpful. I mean, you know, a scout is thrifty, right? As one of right. our laws, and a thrifty scout will use the resources that he has at his or her disposal, and that can act as a compass, that can act as a messaging system, that can act as a resource to look something up. So they're helpful, but we got to make sure that we're doing it the right way.
Right. Yeah, and it's got like a built-in compass on it too, right?
Correct.
It's always good for scouting when you got to try to figure out where you're at.
Flashlight. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's practically an all-in-one pocket knife now. You know, when we were kids, I mean, I loved camping and getting out and stuff. So that's definitely something I experienced through Boy Scouts. But I think about today's kids and what we didn't have, the video games and the social media and the so much technology is part of their lives today.
Right.
Scouting and getting out and doing that stuff's got to be such a massive change. I mean, that's and kids need it today. They really need that.
They do. It's all about balance in today's society, right? Even with my own children, it's about balance. It's about making sure that, you know, they have the time and opportunity to do some of those technology oriented things, but also to, you know, get out in the outdoors and learn in the outdoor classroom. There's, you know, character is not built on sunny days, right? Character is built when it's, you know, freezing cold and stormy, raining outside. You learn a lot about yourself. You don't learn a ton about yourself when you're just sitting in your bedroom playing video games. So we like to make sure we have that balance between the play and then getting outdoors. And then our curriculum, you know, our scouting advancements have changed over time. You can get merit badges now in digital technology, programming, graphic arts, game design. That's just to name a few. So we have scouts that are, you know, earning those merit badges that are taking their love for video games and creating their own or creating their own computer programs or whatever goes into, you know, coding and things like that. So we find a way to evolve with the times so that scouting can still remain relevant.
Yeah, it's a long way away from soapbox derbies,
right? The
wooden cars of the hill, which is still that same stuff. It's really cool, though, to hear that. Like, I had no idea to think about the explosion of that with the merit badges. Cool.
Cars. Yeah, scouting is really cutting edge. There's 138, I believe, different merit badges. And I equate merit badges to life skills, right? You can get a merit badge in pretty much anything or any particular field or interest that you have. And to have the ability to earn those by learning from somebody that has a business in that area or a passion in that area. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, just because you have a telescope doesn't mean you can teach space exploration, right? We want somebody that, you know, is... has a background in astronomy or a background in space exploration, teaching space exploration merit badge, right? Just like you wouldn't want a guy that's never coached basketball coaching a basketball team, right? So we do our best to match up the skills of our volunteers and our partners in the community. You know, Andy Mark is a great example, you know, right there in Kokomo. Andy Mark teaches the robotics merit badge. Why do we pick Andy Mark to teach the robotics merit badge?
Yeah.
Because that's what Andy Baker does for a living, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, no one else is going to be more qualified than him to teach robotics merit badge.
Yeah.
Shout out to Andy Mark.
Yeah, so they're awesome community people. They are.
Absolutely.
Walk us through like the basics. So for those that don't really know the hierarchy, if you will, of like scouting and like when can kids first start? You know, what ages do what?
Yeah, so we have four programs within the Boy Scouts of America. Obviously, the Boy Scouts of America is our national organization, right? It's broken down geographically into about 285 local councils. Those local councils are then broken down into geographical districts. And then a family will join one of our four scouting programs within that geographical district, okay? Our Cub Scout program starts in kindergarten and goes through fifth grade. So pretty much your elementary aged program. It's open to boys and girls, kindergarten through fifth grade. Somewhere in the spring of your fifth grade year, or when you turn 11 years old, depending on which comes first, that is when Scouts transition from Cub Scouts into our Scouts BSA program. That is what you guys would know, and many of the listeners would know as our Boy Scout program, right? We don't call it Boy Scouts anymore, because we are now including females into that program. So we've rebranded the program to be called Scouts BSA. And it includes both boys and girls from that 11-year-old mark, that sixth grade mark, again, depending on which comes first, all the way through their 18th birthday. Then we have our venturing program, which is middle school and high school age, so 14 to 21 years old, and that's activity and hobby based. So we may have a venturing crew that is 17 kids that want to do nothing but go mountain biking, and their entire experience in that program is going mountain biking, right? Or they may like to go camping, or they may like to go fishing, or whatever. And so it is just think club based scouting. Right? Activity and hobby based scouting. And then we have our exploring program, which is probably the least known of our programs. And that is our career readiness program, career exploration, where you'll have middle school and high school ages again. So that sixth, seventh, eighth grade and beyond, where it is individuals looking for career exploration in a particular field or a variety of fields. So I'll use the Tippecanoe County Sheriff's Department here in Tippecanoe County. The Sheriff's Department has an Explorer program that is giving youth that are involved in that program an experience in what life in law enforcement is and what those students may end up doing or being if they go into a career in law enforcement. I could say we could start an Explorer program for those that want to be realtors. And you guys would have the ability to reach a population of kids that want to go into real estate and teach them about the real estate market and what that looks like as a career, so that when they go off to college and they get a degree or they go off to a trade school and get involved in a trade, they've had some exposure in those areas before they made the commitment of going into that area, right? How many people out there listening have a degree in a program or a field that they're not working in, right?
Exactly.
Right. A lot of those individuals that come through our exploring program figure that out along the way and know by the time they get to college or trade school or whatnot that this is what we want to do.
Right. That's really, really interesting. You know, like with Ryan, I've been through before, like merit badges and stuff. But now, you know, looking at it, you know, whatever, 40, 50 years later, you know, and you look back at it and you think like what impact that did have. I was thinking all the stuff that I learned when you were talking about that from, you know, sailboat at Camp Crossland and swimming and all this other life type skills that you end up picking up along the way that I still do today that I learned back then that helped me. So,
yeah, I tell people all the time, scouting is the only thing with the exception of school and church that you can do at 15 that matters when you're 50.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, powerful stuff. And on top of that, it's like you see so much now on the other side, sports wise, where everybody travels, goes, right? But it's that same thing. Boy Scouts, you're going on the weekend camping and all that stuff too. But at the same time, you're learning as you're there. So you're still getting that same interaction with other people, other troops, and you do the big together ones when they get those big jamborees. I remember going to that, and that's where you meet other people from other cities.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said earlier, I think we were off camera. It's all about balance, right? It's all about balance. You know, we encourage scouts that are in our program to be involved in school activities, to be involved in sports, to be involved in dance, or to be involved in, you know, insert this thing here, right? Because we know that that's going to make them well-rounded young men and women. And it's just about having that balance. I know in my family specifically, I have two sons that are three-sport athletes at 10 and 12 years old. And scouting is another one of the things that we're committed to, right? Making sure that they have that balance that, because at some point in time, those playing days are going to be over. And right. We want them to have that moral foundation, that moral compass, those life skills that we teach along the way. We want them to be able to have those. And I encourage all families that, you know, if you've got kids that are in sports or other extracurricular activities, that you at least think about scouting, because that's going to be there long after those playing days.
Excuse me. Yeah.
It's there's definitely a lot of life skills in there. I think back, I mean, just not just camping, but in general. I even think back like the survival stuff. Like I was in the Order of the Arrow, and I can remember that weekend where they're like, you know, here's your cup of water and an egg. We'll see you in 2 days. You know, it was like,
and you can't talk. And yeah.
Oh yeah. In my mind, I caught a deer with my bare hands and ate it. I don't remember if that's really happened or not. That's how I remember it. But
but you learned a lot about yourself in that moment.
Absolutely. I think it even rained. It was like worst case scenario.
Of course it rained.
Yeah, it was great. I got in Cub Scouts, and I remember being excited for Boy Scouts because I wanted to go camping. I really wanted to get outside and go camping. And then even as an adult, when my kids were old enough, I would take them camping, and it was just a good bonding opportunity for us to go out on a weekend. We would hit different state parks, and just love that. And like I said earlier, I had so many kids today, I think, are so disconnected in the real world. It's just such an opportunity for them to get out and explore and learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Learning in the outdoors, right? That outdoor classroom, it teaches a lot. You can learn in the classroom at school, right? Or you can learn at church, or you can learn at the sport that you're participating in, or whatever the case may be. But there's something about that outdoor classroom that helps you learn about yourself. That night that you spend out in the Order of the Arrow, you know, sleeping under the stars with a small meal, helps you really sit there and reflect on, you know, what kind of young man am I, and what do I want to be, and how am I going to incorporate these scouting values and morals that we're incorporating through the Scout Oath and the Scout Law into our program. How am I going to internalize those and become a better young man or young woman?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to display something here. I want to throw up like a link to your guys' website. Yeah. I noticed on there. So it's big anniversary. So that's awesome. So how did that happen? 50 years, huh?
Yeah. 50 years ago, three local councils that, for lack of a better term, were struggling individually, came together and merged and became the Sagamore Council. We have a lot of volunteers today that were involved in scouting, some as adults and some as youth back in 1972, 73, when they were going through the merger. And it was the best situation that they could have made, our best decision that they could have made at that point, to bring those three struggling councils together and make one. And we still see that today across the country. We have scout councils across the country merging constantly, just because, you know, some councils are struggling to, you know, come out of the post-pandemic impacts that you know were it impacted everybody in some way, shape, or form. Some councils just weren't able to come out of that and be sustainable on their own. So it was a decision that they made 50 years ago that we stand by today, and we're doing well.
And what's the territory for the whole council?
We cover 14 counties in north central Indiana. So if you're going east to west, north to south, State Road 26 that runs between Kokomo and Lafayette, we cover that entire stretch with the exception of Rossville. Rossville is the most northern territory in the Crossroads of America Council out of Indianapolis. I think they should just annex Clinton County to us, but right. then I think we'd have to take Frankfort too. I think they're in there, but we cover Lafayette to Kokomo on the stretch of 26 there, out east to Gas City, Marion, North Manchester, Wabash, north up to Rochester, Rensselaer, Jasper County, kind of up Interstate 65 to the Rensselaer, DeMont area. And then back down south to the west, we cover Benton County, Fountain County, and Warren County out to the west of Lafayette, and kind of everything in between. So we cover a pretty large territory.
Yeah,
and it's that central part of Indiana.
Yes, yeah. If you're thinking big cities, right? We're north of Indy, south of South Bend, and south of Fort Wayne.
Right.
Everything in between.
Yeah. Steve mentioned Camp Buffalo. I remember going to Camp Buffalo, and then I was a counselor for 2 years at Camp Crossland for like 8 weeks in the summer.
Sure.
You know, that's the best time of my parents' life because I was gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nothing else. If you're watching this and you have kids, you get them into counseling and they'll leave for a while.
We're hiring right now. If you've got somebody that's interested in aquatics, a high school age kid or adult that is interested in aquatics, I'm looking to hire two people by Friday. I say by Friday, it could be next week too, but I'd like to hire two more people for our summer camp staff just to spend the summer 7 weeks at the pool or the pond, making sure that we can run a quality aquatics program at our summer camp.
Yeah, I was I worked in the kitchen the first year, and then I was a lifeguard the second year. But
if you're not busy, we can talk about aquatics this summer.
My wife's watching this; she'll sign me up.
No age requirements. We're good.
And Crossland, that ended up, that's no longer Camp Crossland. Didn't that get purchased by the state, or is that state park now, or?
So I'm going to be completely honest. That was well before I got here. I know we sold that property off, and we kept the proceeds of that property and put that into our endowment. But the purchaser of that property, I have no idea. And that's just one of those things that just is not hit my radar as something that I need to commit to my memory. I probably should have, but, I don't have the institutional knowledge there.
We were coming back from a trip once as an adult, like years later, and I come across it. And I same thing with Buffalo, because as a kid, I can never remember where the heck I went.
Sure.
But as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's Camp Crossland. And I have a defining moment in my life where I truly, like, when you were a counselor, they would always do some type of initiation.
Okay.
And they grabbed me in the middle of the night and they took my cot and they stuck it between like two canoes and they pulled me out to the lake and they tied me to the bed and then they all came back in. And, you know, I was supposed to wake up in the morning, drifted back up. And that was the whole thing. And they probably don't do that kind of stuff anymore, but that's what they did.
For all the listeners out there, that does not happen if your child comes to summer camp.
I didn't have the delete button. I'm trying to like pause.
I was a kid in the 80s. All right. So it was a little different. Now it gets worse. I wait till they all take off and I untie myself and I come back with the paddle they left. And then they were all waiting for me. And then they took me back out without the paddle. And I remember drifting into this big, thick thing of like lily pads. And I had to make the decision if I was going to stay there all night or I was going to have to jump in those lily pads and swim out. And it's like midnight or whatever. To me, that was like, I got down to my underwear. I jumped in. I'll never forget the sensation of swimming through those lily pads at midnight, you know. And I got out. And that was like a big moment for me, like take a leap of faith. Like I did something that I was scared to do. I'll never forget that.
Now, I would say that the principles in scouting are still there, right? Just not in that execution.
Yep. So bad example. That's probably, yeah, that won't happen if you're watching this, kids.
No, we do not. We don't do any of that at Camp Buffalo. None.
Oh, that's great. So, hey, how can people get involved or help or donations, anything like that, that want to kind of help your organization?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's really three ways that people can get involved. You can give us your time, right? Become a volunteer. And you can do that as simple as going to our website, sagamorebsa.org, going to the contact us button and let us know that you're interested in sitting down and having a conversation on how you can get involved. We have short-term positions where people can get involved. We have longer-term positions. We have some lifetime positions that often seem to happen. No, I'm kidding. We have plenty of opportunities for individuals to get involved. In any capacity, whether that's program, whether that's fundraising, whether that's membership, whether that's marketing, graphic arts, you name it. If you've got a skill set out there, we probably have a need for it in some capacity. So that's one way to get involved is just give some of your time to scouting. And you don't have to have been a scout in order to get involved in scouting. You just have to have a passion for helping kids and helping kids develop. So that's number one is giving up your time. Making financial contributions, whether you're an individual, whether you are you have a business, making a financial contribution to scouting is one way to help us fulfill our mission. You know, the mission of scouting is to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them the values of the scout oath and law, right? That's our mission. It says to prepare young people, insinuating all of them. Are we serving all of the kids that we have in North Central Indiana? No, but we should be. And with more financial resources, we can impact more lives and more families, especially those that come from some underprivileged circumstances. It allows us to have more latitude to serve families, the more revenue we can generate. So that would be number two, is making financial contributions on top of your getting involved. And the third way I would say is contemplate a partnership in some way, shape, or form. You know, I joked earlier about starting an exploring program through the real estate market there in Howard County. But that's not far off of something that would be possible. Surely there is a population of kids in and around Howard County, or in any of the communities that we serve for that matter, that have parents that work in real estate or have a desire to go into real estate as a profession. Why would you not want to start to create that pipeline of middle and high school age kids that want to go into that particular career field? So that's just one very brief example of a partnership. But a partnership could also be bringing your employees out on Thursdays and helping us deliver buddy bags as a part of our commitment to the United Way and the Kokomo Schools, Kokomo School Corporation, right? So partnerships take on a variety of different appearances depending on the individual or the business that wants to get involved.
Yeah, buddy bags. Hey, besides all the other stuff you hit on that. So do you guys do that year round or is it just during the school year season?
So this will be the first year that we have taken full responsibility over of the buddy bag program. We were a cog in the wheel previously, and now we're responsible for pretty much the whole wheel. But it runs through the school year. And then during the summertime, it is a ramped down commitment and then back into the school because we're delivering the bags directly to the schools.
You guys have that trailer. So it's the big Boy Scout trailer and then you guys pull down, fill it up. And then this is where, like I said, my wife was with Rotary. They volunteer to try to help you guys United Way. And so you can do it as a group or an office, right? So like we can office down there and help guy throw that stuff on, and then some people deliver, some people load.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's every Thursday during the school year, and it's probably a 90-minute commitment from top to bottom. We load the trailer up, we head over to the three or four different schools that we drop product off at, or our buddy bags off at, and then we bring the trailer and the supplies back, and then we're done for the day. We repeat next week. They do the prep work for that delivery on Wednesday, so there's opportunities to come out on Wednesday and fill the bags and get them ready, and then Thursday is delivery day. And we do as many bags in schools as those that have partnered with the United Way in order to receive those.
I've done that before. I've volunteered, and you're right. It's not a huge time commitment, and the more people you get, the easier it is because you've got to get all those bags down that long hallway out into the back of that trailer. But that's a great program.
Yeah, it is. And it's just one of the many ways that scouting is giving back to the community. You know, community service is a requirement for all of our rank advancements in some way, shape, or form. Not just our Eagle Scouts that are completing a community service project in order to become an Eagle Scout, but all along the way, there's community service happening. And we dedicate thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of community service time across the communities that we serve, giving back to the community, helping them be better than what they were when we found them.
Brian, I have a major regret in scouting, and that is that I did not get my Eagle Scout. And the only thing that kept me from that, because I had enough merit badges, the only thing was my service project. And for some reason, I didn't make the time to do that service project. And I have spent my entire life since then trying to make that up. I've volunteered for so many things and done so many
other projects since then.
I could have it, you know, 100 times over, but man, it would be really cool right now to say, yeah, I'm an Eagle Scout, but I didn't do it. Can I do it now?
No, unfortunately, that ship has sailed. But you can continue. You know, think about it, right? I talked earlier about, you know, the things that you learn in our program at 15 are the things that still matter when you're 50, right? That concept of doing your duty to God and your country, right? Your country in this particular sense is your community, right? And right. You learned the Scout Oath and the Scout Law many, many moons ago. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout Law, right? To help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. But the part in there where it talks about doing your duty to God and your country and obeying the Scout Law, right? That is applicable right here in this conversation, right? You were taught even back then as a young boy to do my duty, do be helpful, right? Mm-hmm. Friendly, courteous, kind to others, right? And that's what community service is. It's putting others before yourself. And that is just one of the small things that we implement into young men and women's lives at 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, that 40 years down the road, they can trace back to that experience in scouting as to why they do what they do today. It makes me so happy to hear, not that you regret not becoming an Eagle Scout, but that you have this dedication to being involved in the community, and you could tie that back to what you did in scouting years ago. It's incredible. It's a testament 100%. To our program right here in the flesh.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. It's awesome. That's just so much information. It's so good. You know, like, and we've been there. So it's awesome. Like when you get around that, right? Because it is neat to be able to go through that Scout Oath with what you did on it, you know, and when you're doing that, that's something that you say, and then you do the Pledge of Allegiance, right?
Right.
It was like right before, right after that, that was just something that you did every single meeting that you did, every place that you were at. It's just part of life.
We were having a conversation about some of our outreach programs the other day. And some of our outreach programs don't necessarily look like a traditional scouting model would look, right? Because we're delivering that program in a way or a manner that just might look different. And someone said, if we do the Pledge of Allegiance and we recite the Scout Oath and the Scout Law, and that is the only thing that we accomplish at that scout meeting, we've probably had a really good meeting,
right?
You know, because, you know, I recited the Scout Oath there a moment ago, but you think about the Scout Law, right? Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. If we can get young men and young women to live their lives by that oath and that law, that is a step in the right direction, regardless of how many merit badges they earned, regardless of how many nights they camped, regardless of how many events they went to or Pinewood Derby cars they raced or right, whatever the case is, right? If we just get them to adopt and absorb the Scout Oath and the Scout Law and couple that with the Pledge of Allegiance, we're probably preparing society for a great wave of young men and women.
Right. So future leaders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome stuff.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Good. Brian, it's been awesome. We want to thank you for like taking some of your time out and trying to share some of the knowledge you've got with the Scouts, the history that you've got with them, what's happening, not just in Lafayette and Kokomo, but across this whole area in the state, how important and impactful it is. So if anybody's watching, if you guys have questions, let us know, like, share this. And if you want to help out, yeah, just like Ryan, he popped up the website earlier, sagamorebsa.org, correct?
That is correct. Yep, sagamorebsa.org takes you to our website. Multiple ways to communicate with us there. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at sagamorebsa. Plenty of ways to connect with scouting and help us continue to carry out our mission as we continue to provide life-changing programs to young men and young women all across North Central Indiana. I thank you guys for the platform today. Very excited. Hey,
yeah.
You're welcome. Thanks for
it. It's great having you on. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Andy Hardy from the Hardy Group Real Estate. Over the years, we've watched Andy rise up as a rookie real estate agent to eventually taking the wheel of his entire company. Join us as we get to know Andy a little better and learn why his office is one of the top real estate companies in the area. Be sure to watch us next Tuesday at noon.